Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's take a closer look now at the one part of the health reform law that the court struck down, the penalty for states that refuse to expand their Medicaid rolls as the law used to require. Remember, Medicaid is government-provided health insurance for people who are poor. Under the Obama law, about half the newly insured were supposed to come from expanding Medicaid to a slightly higher income group, and about half from the individual mandate in the private sector. With us for this is Christine Vestal, healthcare reporter for Stateline. That's a reporting project from Pew. Christine, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
First, remind us of how this is supposed to work. Medicaid eligibility would now cover people making a third above the poverty line instead of at the poverty line, or up to about $30,000 a year for a family of four. And states, after this ruling, are no longer going to be required to participate at that level?
That's correct. They may choose to, but they do not have to because there's no penalty.
Because the court said Washington can offer incentives to states to expand their Medicaid rolls, but cannot penalize states by canceling their existing Medicaid funding if they don't join in, which had been the threat. So I guess my main question is, 26 states sued the federal government to win this point. Do you think those 26 states will now say thanks but no thanks on expanding Medicaid?
Most people doubt that many states will make this decision. Medicaid's a very popular program, and this expansion would include a lot of adults. In fact, it would cover half of the uninsured population that the Affordable Care Act aims to cover. Also, it benefits hospitals and doctors and the economy. So there would be a lot of pressure on states to go ahead and do the expansion. But we have several governors already declaring that they're not likely to do it. But simply making that statement and doing it is another thing.
So, for example, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, the public sector collective bargaining buster, Walker
right.
said, quote, "Wisconsin will not take any action to implement Obamacare." So do you think he'd actually turn down a 100% subsidy, which is what it is the first few years, to cover uninsured people in his state? Because the incentive is that Washington will cover this expansion 100% the first few years, 90% the years after that.
That's right. I can't predict what Scott Walker or any governor will do. I know that they're making statements now, and those are likely for political reasons. They need to study the law and hear from their constituents. I would say.
He said any action to implement Obamacare. Do you take that to mean Wisconsin won't set up the insurance exchanges where the people covered by the individual mandate are supposed to go to buy their private insurance policies?
That's what it sounds like to me.
And so what happens in that case? I thought everybody has to have an exchange available now under this law.
The federal government will build the exchange for Wisconsin or any other state where there is no state-run exchange. And
uh-huh.
that decision will be made pretty quickly by the end of this year.
So Walker can opt Wisconsin out of the state building the exchange, but it would still be a statewide exchange that the federal government would actually run. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
That's interesting. You said that a few governors have said that they won't participate. Walker was the only one that I've come across. Who else said it?
Well, the Wall Street Journal has an article today saying that Mississippi governors, South Carolina, Virginia, and Nevada are not likely to do it or won't do it. Statements vary. So you can add those four to the list.
I guess so. And again, that's going to be very interesting to see what happens in those states, given the fact that these are 100% subsidies that are being offered. The governor of let's see, I'm looking for this. Oh, I thought I had it in front of me, and I don't. So I'll paraphrase. The governor of Michigan, who's a Republican, said something yesterday to the effect of, we're going to try now to protect Michigan from the negative effects of Obamacare. And I wonder what else that might mean. If he's not going to refuse the Medicaid funding, do you see other things that governors might be planning to do to lessen what they may see as negative impacts of various aspects of the law?
I don't see that they have other choices other than to not build the exchange or not participate in the Medicaid expansion.
So those, as far as you can tell, are the only two things. And here in our area, Governor Christie, an outspoken opponent of the Obama law, issued a statement yesterday reacting to the court and denouncing the law as a tax on the middle class. But for everybody's information, he did not say whether he was going to take the chance to opt out that the court handed him on Medicaid. And he made no references one way or another to the exchanges either. Tough decision on Medicaid for someone like Chris Christie, you think?
Absolutely. Many states, most states really have a lot to gain directly in their state budgets from the Medicaid expansion. Some states who, let's take Mississippi, for example, where the existing Medicaid program has not expanded much, there might be some net cost to that state. That could be the case in several states, and for fiscal reasons as well as political reasons, those governors could say no.
I was thinking that if Christie or any other Republican governor has aspirations to run for president in 2016 or beyond, that might motivate them to make a show of refusing to take part in this because they object in principle to the extra burden on the federal taxpayers nationwide. Can you see that?
I could see that, too, because there is many billions of dollars are going to go towards this Medicaid expansion, federal money.
Let's take a call from New Jersey, somebody thinking about Chris Christie in relation to this, Scott in Sussex County. Hi, Scott. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just had one quick comment. I mean, I think right now the Republicans and the Republican governors, I mean, they have no choice but to accepting complete defeat on what they were attempting to do here, kind of have to go with the flow. Because, for instance, Governor Chris Christie is now saying that he's going to veto the criminalization of marijuana bill. He vetoed a gay marriage bill in New Jersey already. And, I mean, if you look at the voting bloc that would be benefiting from the expansion of Medicare or Medicaid, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of younger voters who maybe aren't even registered to vote right now but might be motivated to if they feel like they're not going to be getting the best bet with the expansion. That's all I wanted to say.
Scott, thank you very much. And by the way, folks, we will have the State Senate President from New Jersey, Democrat Steve Sweeney, coming up on Monday's show, so we'll get his take on this. Right now, we are with Christine Vestal, healthcare reporter for Stateline, a reporting project from Pew. How much do you think that this expansion of Medicaid really will cover the goal, which is half of the additional people that the president wants to be covered, that is half of those uninsured today who everybody hopes will become insured under this. The governor's opting out aside. I know people who work in Medicaid and they say the biggest problem they have now is getting folks who would be eligible to actually sign up. So just because the eligibility is expanded doesn't mean that everybody who's eligible is going to take advantage of it.
That's right, Brian. We are having a fire emergency here, so I'm going to have to go. But let me just say that there will be a lot of outreach and automatic enrollment. Hospitals will know about this, so when someone comes into the emergency room, so forth.
Just go. Forget it.
All right.
Go.
Thank you. Bye.
Go. And be safe at the Pew Center where Christine Vestal is a reporter for their state-oriented reporting project, Stateline. But we got the important stuff out on that anyway. So that was, you know, very informative about the position that especially some Republican governors are put in. And I hope Christine and everybody she works with gets out of that building safely if there really is a fire and not just an alarm going off. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have a great guest coming up next, Mohamed Nasheed, the deposed president of the Maldives. And he has a lot to say about democracy in his country, about democracy in the Muslim world in general, and also about how his nation is kind of the canary in the coal mine for global warming. They say if sea levels continue to rise, the Maldives may be completely drowned and cease to exist as an inhabitable nation. We'll talk to him about all those things coming up in a minute.